Hi, this is Carlos Castellanos with DrawnBySuccess.com, and I'm here with my co-host,
Bob Ostrom.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How are you, Carlos?
I'm sick as a dog, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, we got a great interview today.
Do we now?
Yes, we do.
And who do we have?
We have Sid Moore. Hi, Sid.
Hi, guys. I'm in the background just laughing my head off at you guys already.
Well, our show, our attempt is to be entertaining.
Top
if not informative.
Professionalism. Yeah.
Well, you're entertaining me before you even come on the air. I was entertained.
If you guys aren't familiar with Sid Moore, she's a children's book illustrator. How many books do you have under your belt there, Sid?
I have over 40 so far. So quite a few. Of course, not all of those are in print these days, but the way the economy has been. But yeah, I have quite a few still in print, so I'm pretty happy about that. Some new ones coming out.
And how long have you been a children's book illustrator?
Okay, how long have I been? Probably at least 25 years, maybe longer than that. I've been around a while.
Okay. You know, you just touched on something that we actually wanted to get to. I don't know if it might be too soon, but you mentioned something about that not all books are in print at the moment because of the economy or whatever. Are they just in a holding pattern, or have they gone digital? What's the deal there?
Some of them have gone digital on several different providers, but most of them are out of print. Yeah, and I should be more diligent about getting them digital. But the ones that are digital, I don't find have a lot of book sales. So there's not a big motivation there for me. I should get on that, but I haven't. But yeah, most of the time a digital publisher will contact me and ask, you know, if I'd like to for the book to go digital. And I'll say, sure, why not? So if it's up to me to do it, I just haven't taken that ball and run with it. So. But yeah, a lot of books have gone out of print, things that were even selling well. Some of my books with Scholastic, I think Scholastic standards for sales are a lot higher. A book that would be selling a certain amount on Scholastic, and I'm pretty happy with, that I assume that they're not happy with because they wind up putting it out of print, you know, and another publisher, they would be happy with the book sales. So you just don't know. Scholastic's a huge entity, so... sales to them is different from sales with some of the smaller publishers. But I was really sad to see a few of those go because they were still selling pretty well.
Now, do you retain the rights to those, or does the publisher?
I do. And the thing about the books that I have with Scholastic, actually, they really haven't gone out of print. They just haven't chosen to publish them. I haven't had a specific letter saying your book is out of print like you get when it's officially done. And the thing about Scholastic was what happened recently is a book that they had not published in a few years, they published again. So, you know, you hope that they'll come back at some point depending on marketing. So, you know, I haven't asked for the rights back anyway.
Yeah, because I mean, I take it that I mean, you've probably thought about this, but I mean, if you got the rights back, you could probably self-publish or promote it and publish it yourself, with distribution being, you know, easier now.
Right. Yes. It's on my list. On my long, long list of things to do.
So did you always want to be a children's book illustrator, or was there somewhere else you started? What was your motivation for going into the children's book market?
I started as a graphic designer. I used to work with a lot of ad agencies and marketing firms, freelance, but I was also an illustrator. I started out like in the newspaper industry and TV. I worked at a television station for a while. So I was more in the commercial end of things and did a lot of graphic design, but I was illustrating a lot of the pieces that went into the designs I was doing. And so I was doing about 50% illustration at one point, and I hired an agent in Chicago and an agent in New York. And some of the jobs that I'd been doing were jobs for like a children's theater and for the zoo and things like that. So I had a lot of things in my portfolio, samples in my portfolio that were more children's bookish. So my agents started calling on some of the children's book publishers in New York and Chicago. And I started getting a lot of jobs that way. So it just picked up from there. And that's what I've been doing. And eventually, I was doing about 4 books a year for children's books. And I just didn't have time to do as much graphic design. And I started a company called Picture Book that was a children's book directory. So for several years there, I was doing the graphic design for Picture Book. I was actually laying out the book. So I just didn't have time to do any more graphic design other than that. So I was doing mostly children's books and Picture Book for quite a few years.
So that's a lot to take on in a year. Do you write all your own books as well? Do you write and illustrate?
I do write. I have never had the time to actually pull my own projects together. Mm-hmm. Lucky us, the way the economy is. A lot of projects were postponed or whatever, and it gives me time to work on my own projects. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm working on writing and doing some of the ideas that I've had over the years but just haven't ever pursued. So hopefully I will have some books on the shelves in the next few years with my name on both spaces, writer and illustrator.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, congratulations. That's always fun. So what other kind of things have you seen that have been changing in the children's book industry over the years? I mean, I know I do children's books as well, and I've noticed a lot of things in terms of, mainly the demand, but what kind of things have you noticed?
Well, the demand, yeah, and the decreasing advances, all of that. There's not as much marketing on the books. Mm-hmm. The staff, they don't have as much staff, So it's definitely tighter. You have to be a self-marketer now for sure. Whereas before you could depend on the book. The publisher to do a little bit of that, and now they don't have the funds to do that so much. So it, in a way, the online, because we have so much ability to get online and promote ourselves, we take on that part of it as well.
Sure,
so
sure.
That's getting into your creative time because you're so busy promoting, trying to get the publicity out on books and art and all of that. So it's become, you're working a lot harder on fewer real projects, but you're working a lot harder to promote those projects.
Right. And so what are some of the ways that you use to promote yourself? I mean, I know that you mentioned that you were a big part of Picture Book. Are there other ways that you are promoting yourself now?
To the publishers, you mean?
Yeah. As an artist, and so you want to get yourself out there, get your name out there. What are some of the things that you do to get yourself out there?
Well, I should be.
What are some of the things that you should be doing? that's always the best question.
Yeah. Don't do as I do. Do as I say.
That's exactly right. I give workshops on what people can do, but do I actually do it? I'm not the best self-promoter in the world. I know what to do, but I'm not very good at doing it. You always can send postcards. You have to have a website, of course. You have to have a fun website. I think a lot of people these days are doing the blogs, and I do have on my long list of things to do. I'm building a new website soon. I've been saying that for a year, but I am actually in the process of it right now. So I'm revamping my website that I have now, and I will put a blog on it. I'm blogging on some sites. I have a blog on one site that's specifically for one of my books.
Sure.
And so I've been doing that blog, but it's really promoting that one title. And because I have so many titles, I feel that it would be more effective if I actually had the blog posted on my site. And I'll still do that blog too, but maybe I'll do double duty with the posts and put some of them on my blog on my site as well. I think that that's really necessary these days. I mean, I think people want that. You're competing with a lot of noise out there. Bob and I were talking about this in the beginning. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of stuff in people's faces right now. And people have the attention spans of, you know, kids who have been raised on Sesame Street. So that's a good thing in some ways, and it's a bad thing in other ways. So I believe you have to be always coming out with something new and always, you know, always moving to the next thing, so people will stay interested. I think it becomes it's definitely a full-time job. So
sure. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to cut through all that static.
It really does. And so I'm that's in my future. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I know I need to do it, and I am doing it. That's actually scheduled. I put it on my calendar. I've never put it on my calendar, so it never got done. So now I actually have, you know, on the iCal, I have the little bar going across all the days that I plan to work on my blog and my new website. So it might actually happen soon.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what they say, it doesn't get done until it gets posted on your calendar.
That's exactly right.
I found that to be true. I say I'm going to do a lot of things. Unless it's posted on the calendar, I don't do it.
That's exactly right. I don't either. And I can put it on the to-do list, but it doesn't get done if I just put it on the to-do list. So I actually have to put the little banner across all of the days, and something visual about that banner that goes across all those days.
So that'll be our next show, Time Management for Artists.
There you go. That's going to be a popular show, I think.
I'm like pretty good with that. So I could talk about that. But blogging and everything, I'm just a newbie too. I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaur like a lot of artists that have been around for so long. These young people that are out there that are graduating, they grew up with the stuff, you know, in their face since kindergarten, and they're so good at it. They're fearless, and they're just, you know, making their own products to sell, and they're on Etsy, and they're on, you know, it amazes me. And I'm learning about all of these sites because I haven't paid attention. I've been busy, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm online just like everybody else that's my age, trying to research and catch up and try to get a grip, you know, try to join what's happening and enjoy it.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I have a lot of the same feelings. I feel like it's sort of a constant state of trying to catch up, you know, to catch up to what everybody's doing or where the next thing is going to be or, you know, how to get it out on that next thing, you know, or learn this or learn that, you know. It seems like there's constantly a new thing coming out, and you got to learn it right away and get your stuff on there and get out there.
Yeah, Bob, I feel your pain on that.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of us who have been around a long time, and I think I've probably been around a lot longer than you guys have been.
I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years now, so not that much longer, right? You said 25?
Yeah, and I've been doing it for 25, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I believe that a lot of us feel that way. Mm-hmm. I do. I believe that a lot of us feel like we've been left behind and that we can't compete, but we can. I mean, we have a lot to offer, and I believe that we just need to do it our way. You know, you don't have to do it the way I'm reading Be the Media, and I'm reading all these hot new books about all of this industry, this world of this digital world, and trying to figure out where I fit. And I'm finding that, you know what, I will never be able to do all of this. So I'm going to do the parts that are fun for me. That's what I've decided.
That's a great attitude. I love that.
Yeah. So if people want to join in and read my blog that I'm creating and have some fun, I'm not going to try to do any more than just what I enjoy doing. Because otherwise you're up until 3 a.m. posting and checking email. And I have a life. I want to be more balanced in that. I want to have a life and a career, which my career is my life because it's fun. I still paint even when I'm not working. It's
sure.
Fun.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And why not?
I'm lucky to have that kind of job, but I'm not going to stress myself out about trying to, quote, keep up with what everybody else is doing because, you know, I don't think I'll enjoy it. Even if I'm doing it, I won't enjoy it. So why do it?
A lot of it too, I think, is, you know, knowing what your outcome is that you're looking for, you know what I mean? Because I mean, because it's impossible to do everything,
right?
And I think it's important to find out where, you know, who you're trying to communicate and where they are, and then communicate with them in a way that they're receptive to. But really knowing, you know, what your goals are for getting into social media, what you're trying to get out of it, so that you have, you know, a clear understanding of what it is. Otherwise, you're gonna, you know, because you could get sucked into that social media world where, like you say, you're posting constantly, and because right. The conversation never stops there. So
it never stops. That's
it never stops.
It never stops, and you're so wide open to so many. What you just said about know what is your outcome. I believe that you do have to sit down and decide who you want to speak to. And you could speak to everybody, and that's fine. Or you can have your market. Like, I love speaking with teachers. I love, of course, kids will show up. But I love talking with teachers and parents about reading and why it's important to kids. I grew up in South Georgia on a farm. We didn't have a lot of money, and so we didn't travel a lot or at all. we lived on the farm. We worked on the farm. I went to school in this tiny little school in a small town. I wound up going to University of Georgia to school, but as far as my world was really small. And so the bookmobile came to my house every week, and I love talking to kids about that, because now kids have so much. Everything comes to them in such a fast way, and it's all on TV, and they have so many cable channels. I had two television stations growing up. So books were really important to me, and I'm so thankful that they were, and that my mom and dad didn't have to make me read. I loved to read, and I believe it was because my parents do read, and I just always thought that's just what you do, right? So I love talking to parents and teachers and kids about reading, because to me, that's what got me to where I am today. It's not the fact that my mom was a painter and she had skills and I have skills because I inherited those. Yeah, I believe I have creativity in my bones, but I believe that because I read and I explore my world, and my world just grew larger and larger and larger as a result of reading. I didn't travel. I didn't learn what I know today I travel now, but when I was a kid, I wouldn't have known what was beyond that little world on that farm had it not been for the books that I was reading all of the time. And that's really important to me. So that would be something that I would be blogging about. You know, I want to blog. Make sure that there's open conversation about how to be creative in the classroom, not how to inspire creativity and how I do it. And maybe I don't want to tell a teacher how to do it in the classroom. I want her to read how I do it for myself. And she makes that click, that, you know, that aha moment. She goes, oh, that's how she does it. I bet I could do something like that in my classroom. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's about those little tiny moments where you make those connections. It's not so much about, okay, I have all the mad skills, and I have all the information, and I'm going to blog about it, and I'm going to put it all on this blog, and everybody's going to learn from me. I don't think that I know enough about anything for that to happen. But I know what I do know, and I know how I work myself. And if I talk about that from my heart and share what I know that there will be people out there that will connect with them, and it will change somebody's life in that way. And that's what's important to me, is helping these children whose parents are working constantly, and many talking on the phone and on the computer constantly. I mean, there's a lot of busy parents. And I think that by choice and by need, sometimes just by choice. And I believe that if we can just, if they can just see just if we can remind them a little bit of what it was like. For example, when I'm talking about how I grew up, I didn't grow up with all of this noise in my life. It was quiet out on the farm.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I sure do.
I wonder if these days, if I had grown up the way kids do today, I don't know if I would be able to do what I do. You know, it's something I think about sometimes, and it's something that I want to talk about on my blog, because I think the more that a lot of us feel that way, and I think the more that we connect in these small little moments, it's not so much about the big conversation. I think it's the subtleties sometimes. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, that was a tangent. Sorry.
No, that's great. You know what? Because I see. I mean, and producing your books, I think, goes a long way into breaking down those barriers that, you know, and reaching those kids, I think. But I think there's something on the horizon for you that you might be developing, that a program or something for teachers and to help. I mean, that's what I'm getting from what you just said, is that, you know, you're looking to make bigger change and create more of a movement in that direction. I think that's, you know, that's a great place for you to be, and kind of gets leads us to a question of as to why you do what you do. You know, because I think most people that really become successful at what they're doing really have a clear understanding of why they do what they do. It's not just because it's fun for them, but it goes deeper than that.
No, mine is very specific, and I'll go there if you want to get really deep.
Sure.
I see what I do as an artist, as a writer, as whatever I do in my life. I don't separate out from who I am. It's all, I feel like my gift, I have a gift to do what I do. And I want to honor that gift in every way possible. And if that means painting, I call them, painting these lovely, loving books where you see a little kid. Like, to me, a children's book illustration is not just illustrating somebody's words, whether mine or somebody else's. To me, it's about making this moment, this tiny little moment between a mommy and a little kid, or a daddy and his daughter, this little moment. So when they're reading this book and they're all curled up in the bed at night and they're reading this book, and the words are inspiring them, the pictures are inspiring them, there's this moment that I love to draw. There's this moment in I Love You Stinky Facebook that was written by Lisa McCourt. And that's been that's my biggest book. I mean, that thing sold way over a million copies. And this moment in I Love You Stinky Face where the little boy reaches out and grabs his mom's face with his hands. Like, listen to me, mommy. I wish we were on video. But that moment where, you know, their little hands go up on the sides of your face and they turn your face to look at them, like, pay attention to me. You know, that will, I think about that stuff, and I don't deliberately do it, but when I'm illustrating a book and those are the kind of moments I try to bring into a book, not just, okay, the words say this, so I'm going to draw these words, you know. I try to create these little moments that maybe nobody ever notices, but you know what? People have noticed. People send me letters, emails and letters all the time that they have noticed. They've seen that little moment that I was talking about. And I think that's why it resonates. My art resonates with people. I mean, I can say that now. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that for so many years. And people, one good thing about the digital world is you get all these messages from all over the world, and I get them. And people say, your work touches me. Well, that makes me feel like I'm doing my job right. That's what I wanted to do with my job, is to provide. I wanted to do it. So hard for me to put this into words. It's more than a job to me.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
It's more. It's spiritual, if you want to go there. I mean, not spiritual like Baptist church spiritual that I used to attend when I was a kid. Yeah. Not that kind. It's humanity itself. I believe you can do your job in a way that it does touch hearts. And that's what I try to do. No matter what I do, when I go to talk to kids at schools, when I go to talk to teachers at teachers' conferences, I'll be at the kindergarten conference in Illinois soon. I'll be at the Michigan Reading Association in a few weeks. And when I'm there, I try to really be there. Because these moments happen when you're sitting there with a teacher at lunch. You know, she happened to drop by and say, "Can I sit at your table?" And you go, "Yeah, of course." So you sit there. And all of a sudden, you have this connection with somebody. And it's almost like what I was talking about a few minutes ago about the blog. You don't specifically, I mean, you could start off with one intention, but by the time you get to the end of the session, whatever it is, the intention was there, but something magical has happened. Something really magical. Like you've touched heart to heart with somebody, and they take back to their classroom something that may make their entire room work better, or make it easier to do their job. Or maybe they enjoy their job ever so slightly, you know, more than they did before you sat down and started talking with them. I love those moments. And it's not something that you can create. It's just something that happens. Sure. It's total magic.
Well, you know, passion is contagious, and you're certainly very, very passionate about this. So,
well, I am. One of my favorite books, by the way, if anybody listens to this and they're a teacher, one of my favorite books is The Laughing Classroom. It's a book that was written, I don't know the authors, but it was written by some improvisational comic people, and it gives teachers ways to be funny in the classroom. I love that. You can edit that out if you're not interested.
That'd be a fun one to illustrate, I think, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a big manual, though. It's big. It's thick.
Mm-hmm. It took a little while, though.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. So anyway, there are things I'm kicking around. I'm also working with my friend Wendy Halperin. She's an illustrator, children's book illustrator, and she has a program called Drawing Children into Reading, and she's working with teachers, teaching teachers how to draw, and then the teachers go and use their document cameras in the classroom to teach their students how to draw. And in some other countries, she says, in like England, for example, in Great Britain, they teach children to draw before they teach them to write. And that's what she's doing. She's teaching them to draw before she teaches them to write. Because it's so much more fun to make, for example, a dinosaur who has points on his back, up, down, up, down, up, down. Well, those are A's, you know? And it's so much more fun to draw a dinosaur with A's going down its back than to sit and write on a line 1,000 A's, you know? In the end, your muscle memory is going to be the same thing. You know, that up, down, up, down, upside down V, you know, going across. And you're teaching kids the muscle control. So, yeah, I'm working. I work with her some in the summertime. I go to her conferences. And so I'm surrounded by a lot of teachers. So I do want to do something. I want to contribute to that world. Right now, if you were to ask me specifically, what are you going to do? I have no idea.